This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, good morning, man. You doing all right? Quite a weekend.
I'm doing fine, Pack. Good to be with you on a Monday. We start another week. We head up to the title game on Saturday afternoon in Charlotte with Clemson and Notre Dame. College football playoff rankings will be updated tomorrow night. We start ACC basketball conference games in earnest this week. We got a doubleheader here on ACC Network tomorrow night. Women's conference action is underway. We've already had one conference basketball game. And we've got a regular season football game left to go in the ACC schedule for Winston-Salem on Saturday with Florida State visiting Wake Forest. So we got a lot of crossover elements in play here this week. So looking forward to breaking some of that down. But we have the news of the morning, Pack. We have the news of the morning.
Well, let's hope so. It is 7:01 a.m. But it's a story that is on it's a story that we've been kicking around for, I don't know, about a month or so. It started picking up some momentum regarding the next ACC commissioner. And we had David Teal on here, who's done a great job as an insider for the ACC with a number of names. President Clements at Clemson took his name out. It's Magnus up there at ESPN. Said, thanks, pass. And now the latest name is a guy by the name of Jim Phillips, who's the athletic director at Northwestern. And I had a chance to interview him this summer. Well regarded in the circles of college athletics. And if it turns out that that's the guy, the ACC will have hit a home run. He was a guy that was certainly linked to the Big Ten commissioner's job that eventually Kevin right. Warren received. But Jim Phillips has done an amazing job at Northwestern. And like I said, he's been on just about every committee known to man. Very progressive thinker. And if it, like I said, if it turns out that this is the selection for the ACC, I think the conference hit a home run. So we'll see how it plays out.
Several sources have indicated that Jim Phillips is the guy. Pete Thamel, Yahoo Sports, confirmed by Adam Rittenberg at ESPN. The Athletic is also, Matt Fortuna, Nicole Auerbach have confirmed the hiring or the offer potentially to Jim Phillips. It is of note that if Phillips were to become the fifth commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, he would be the first commissioner to come from beyond the footprint of the league. you know, the first one was Jim Weaver. It was followed by Bob James, who was a former student athlete at the University of Maryland, played football there. Then obviously Gene Corrigan, who was a Duke grad and a Virginia athletics director in addition to being at Notre Dame prior to coming to the commissioner's post. And then John Swofford, of course, who was not only a student athlete in the ACC at North Carolina, was later their athletics director after having worked at the University of Virginia as well. So you tie all that together, and a guy who, went to school at the University of Illinois, was a restricted earnings basketball coach at one point, but does have some interesting ACC ties here, Mark, and I think that's the important thing this morning to kind of reinforce here. He's worked for Kevin White, the current athletics director at Duke, Dr. Kevin White. He's worked for him a couple different times at Arizona, and I believe, if I'm correct, at Notre Dame. He's also got experience in the Southeastern Conference, working briefly at Tennessee. He is a peer of both Dr. Kevin White and also Bubba Cunningham, the current athletic director at North Carolina. He is incredibly well-versed across the landscape of college athletics, whether it relates to the Division I Council, which he's been on, the Men's Basketball Committee, which he served as chair of. But he also is a open-minded forward thinker. And I'll give you an example. You take Northwestern and all the things that have happened there from a facility standpoint, the renovation and reconfiguration of Welsh Ryan Arena where they play basketball, their incredible athletics facility that they have on campus that sits right on the lakeshore in Evanston. The other thing is this too. He's the guy that was at the forefront, as you all know, Pack, of football at Wrigley Field. He's a guy that saw football at Wrigley Field as a dream that could become reality. And, in fact, I think Northwestern was scheduled to play Wisconsin this year at Wrigley Field in football. So all these ideas come from the desk of Jim Phillips. I can't tell you the number of different people in college athletics, when asked about this in the last 6 months since the commissioner announced his retirement at the end of the athletic year, his name has come up in almost every conversation. Didn't necessarily say he was the favorite, but it was somebody who the ACC. Well, hey, by the way, I hope they look at Jim Phillips. And if this happens to be fruition, then all indications are we're getting somebody who's got an incredibly successful track record at a lot of different disciplines of college athletics.
Well, I would also say this, too. You know, when you go through the history of a league when it comes to commissioners, just look how the landscape has changed in college athletics, where it was so regional to the point almost that, hey, it's a Tobacco Road thing. Now it's an ACC thing. Hey, everybody right. knows everybody now. And if you don't get the great leaders in this business know everybody. They have a handle on just about anything. And like I said, I go back to an interview I had with Jim Phillips in the middle of the summer when we were going through this pandemic. And you could just to listen to a guy in terms of the progressive thought about how are we going to approach the pandemic? How are we going to get to a college football season? He wasn't talking from a Big Ten perspective. He's talking about the big picture. And so, you know, for people to go, well, you got to have an ACC guy run the show. Well, if you find the right fit, great. But if not, the most important thing is to find the right person to run the league from that standpoint. So, like I said, if it turns out to be that Jim Phillips is the guy, like I said, I think it's a home run hire. But again, we'll see how this thing plays out. But he's got a great reputation as far as you mentioned, the peers and the folks that you do business with, when not only within your own respective league, but also when you're a chair of different committees and so forth, and you've got to have a handle on what works in the Pac-12, works in the Big Ten, works in the SEC, works in the ACC. So, again, there was going to be no doubt that you're going to get a really talented person to succeed John Swofford, but if it turns out to be Jim Phillips, I think the ACC did a nice job there. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, and remember, too, this is a hire being made by the Atlantic Coast Conference and its membership. And it's being done in a way, Mark, and we'll go back to this like we did, last summer. This is being done in an entirely different way than previous hires. Now, yes, there is an executive committee, but the ACC now has changed its bylaws to create this board of directors. And that's something that shouldn't get lost in this. This is the chief executive officers of the 15-member schools that form the Atlantic Coast Conference. They have an executive committee of those board of directors. And that is the group that's going to make the final move here. In the past, it might have been a smaller group of presidents with other elements factored into it. But now this board of directors, these 15 chief executive officers of the membership, they're going to be the sole people involved in putting the commissioner's post together. And I think that's important to note as well as we move through this process in whatever stages, although it looks like now it might be to a final stage.
Well, you know, tap me on the shoulder when it's time for a press conference, right? We can break down the specifics. I don't think folks are like, yeah, okay, good. Who's the next person? You know, but if it turns out to be Jim Phillips, we're good to go. All right, I want to get into the weekend, all right, because that's going to be a lead story, obviously, not only here on our network, but also around the country as we get into championship week. But takeaways from the weekend, Wes, and I will present to you as I'm sitting there on the couch watching all this stuff. We had a number of games in which the narrative of a team's season changed by one single game. Now, whether you think that's fair or not, hey, that's up for you to describe. But your thought process of a team on Friday probably changed drastically by Saturday evening. And I present to you the University of North Carolina. Right? We talked about this last week. You know, it's been kind of a, hey, they're explosive, but man, how they lose to Florida State, how they lose to Virginia. Hey, there's no shame in losing to Notre Dame. The Irish are great. But, you know, they could really use a win. It's been a long time since North Carolina beat anybody in the top 10, 2004 to be exact. And now they're going to go play Miami. And boy, the Canes are having a terrific year. They're 8-1. They're ranked in the top 10. And they're on the cusp of being in the Orange Bowl. Both of these teams, I think the narrative of their season changed based on what happened in a single game. North Carolina was ridiculous on Saturday. And you know what? Miami was too, but the bad kind. I mean, 62-26. Are you kidding me? Anybody want to tackle somebody in those really cool black unis that hopefully have been burnt to the stake by now? I think the narrative of both of their teams and their seasons changed. I mean, Manny Diaz still did a really good job. But 8-2 and getting absolutely clobbered in that sense, and that was embarrassing. And you know what? Don't take it from me. Take it from the coach. You know, all you got to do is go read Manny Diaz's first line in that press conference, and he was being completely honest. We got our tails kicked, and it wasn't that clean. They did. And for North Carolina, Wes, you get one of those wins. Hey, last time we beat somebody in the top 10 was 16 years ago. How about beating somebody like you've never beaten a ranked team before since dirt? Because North Carolina was spectacular on Saturday. Two narratives completely changed in one game. Just right there alone.
Okay. I want to go back to something you said last week, though. Carolina went into the ball game with three losses. And we were having the conversation more than once last week about, well, you know, three losses. And if you don't win Saturday, then, you know, really what kind of year have you had?
That's right? What I'm talking about.
Fair or not?
That's why I brought it up last week, because they were a win away from changing the narrative. They're a loss away from going, 7-4. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. But, I mean, hey, they were fifth in the country at one time. They were preseason top 15. You know, one game. But it was not just a win, Wes. It's the way you won it. I mean, that was an absolute woodshed job. And I don't think anybody, I don't think the most ardent North Carolina fan or Miami fan would have said, hey, I'm going to tell you before this game, the final score is going to be 62-26. What are you talking about?
Well, let me lay this one on you. What if I'd have told you 2 weeks ago that North Carolina was going to score more points on Miami than Western Carolina?
You know, listen, North Carolina could have scored 100 on Western Carolina. I mean, Western Carolina is not a standard. Miami, as a top 10 team on the road, is a standard. You know, if you beat Western Carolina 178-2, you know what we'd have done? Yeah, okay, great. Why are they even on the schedule? You go beat Miami 62-26 and put 778 yards of total offense, and Michael Carter and Javonte Williams could have ran for, come on. I mean, it was almost like it was you against the neighborhood kids on Thanksgiving. And you know what? I'm just going to feel like.
But Pack.
Come on, man. That was a total annihilation Saturday.
They also made plays on defense, too.
Wes, when you
they made some plays.
When you go for 62, Mac Brown could have put me and you in the defensive secondary, and it wouldn't have mattered. 62.
Yeah. No, it would. That would have mattered. No, that
I don't
mattered.
Know. Back. I don't know. Because that Miami was mattered. That bad Saturday. And again, the narrative.
Given
North
your
Carolina,
current condition, that really would have mattered.
Well, I would have been on one leg. They might have been picking on me. But, you know, I'll take my chances. But for North Carolina, the conversation totally changes. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, they're going to be the biggest Clemson fans known to man this week. You know why? If Clemson wins Saturday, North Carolina's chances of going to the Orange Bowl are like pew, through the roof. And if you're Miami, it's like, man, everything that you had built up going 8-1, in some respects, was like that was such a just truly pitiful performance that you go, where are we? Right. And, again, it may not be fair, but the narrative changed in that game for those two teams. And I would even throw Virginia Tech winning Saturday night and the way they played.
You're right.
The Hokies looked terrific Saturday night. I mean, that was like that was the Virginia Tech team that we saw in September and October that you're thinking, they've got a chance. They got a chance to get to Charlotte. And the cup goes right back to Blacksburg for the 20th time in the last 22 years.
It did look like it was a peace of mind kind of win for Virginia Tech.
No doubt.
You know, that no matter what transpires now, postseason-wise, whatever, go, don't go, whatever, the Hokies end up with a peace of mind. And by the way, if Khalil Herbert, you know, if you make that move to the next level, you come back and take the bonus year, you wrote your name in the book, man. You had a big run. You set off the night. And the Hokies never looked back. Even though they trailed early, I still thought Virginia Tech had a ton of momentum in the ball game, and Herbert was fantastic. And good for you, Braxton Burmeister. Again, another story of patience in 2020 for a quarterback that kind of, you know what, I'm here. I had my chances. You know, they go to Hooker. They may make a move to, you know, Quincy Patterson at times, who's now in the transfer portal, but Braxton Burmeister gets a chance to write his name in the rivalry of the Commonwealth Cup with Virginia Tech and Virginia. I agree with you, though, about this. In a complete, like, exhale by Virginia Tech, wasn't it? I mean, you just felt like the thing was building and building and building. And while everything favored the Cavaliers last week, the onus and the pressure was all on Virginia Tech, right? You said that last week, and I couldn't have agreed with you more on it. And then Saturday night, all of a sudden, Herbert, I thought the big, long run just kind of like was like, it kind of put Virginia Tech at ease. It relaxed that football team. Now, games like that going to get chippy, and this one got completely chippy. But the idea that Virginia Tech was able to kind of play with confidence, and a lot of that had to do with Burmeister, certainly had to do with Herbert, and it also had to do with how well they played defensively, I thought, against the Cavaliers as well.
And all the pressure was on Virginia Tech, and I thought they were the more physical team in that game. And, you know, you never know those in-state rivalries, right? You always hear that old cliche, throw the record books out, All that stuff, yada, yada, yada. But if you didn't know anything about either team and you watched it for the very first time Saturday night, you just said, well, the dudes in maroon, man, they're just better than the dudes in the white. And they were better than the dudes in the white on Saturday night. So, again, the narrative of a season, how it can change on one game, I thought those two examples of what North Carolina did in destroying Miami and what Virginia Tech did in really kind of dominating Virginia changed the narrative of a season. Right. If you gave me reverse scores – if Miami had beaten North Carolina 62-26 and Virginia had beaten Virginia Tech 33-15, just think about what the narrative would be today on the show, right? Just think about it. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough because it changes everything with all four of those teams, in my opinion.
We got a good show for you on this Monday. We'll squeeze in some calls as well. 844-SAY-ACCN. 8 o'clock, Eric McClain. 9 o'clock, Andrea Adelson, who over the weekend has already helped us do a story for the 2021 football season with the reports that Mackenzie Milton will be the next quarterback at Florida State, or at least a competitive candidate for the quarterback job at Florida State next year. But when we come back, more on the Tar Heels' role in South Florida. More on the Hokies and the Commonwealth Cup. A couple of other football games. Seminoles made a statement with one left to play. Duke closes in a whisper against Florida State. And you know what? How about Scott Satterfield in Louisville with 60 big minutes of football? All that and more coming up. We're here till 10. Good morning, Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. Jim Phillips, maybe the new commissioner of the ACC. We'll keep an eye on that story as the week goes on. We got Notre Dame and Clemson for the ACC Championship Saturday. And we've got hoops going on. We had a crazy comeback in the women's game yesterday, which we'll get to later on. But talk about takeaways from the weekend, Wes. I gave you at least a couple from a football perspective. Can we now, on the 14th of December, say that Florida State in men's basketball is the safest bet currently in the league? I mean, no disrespect to the incredible programs at Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, Louisville, Syracuse, go down the list. But have the Noles become the safest sure thing in this league? I mean, terrific win against Florida. Again, seven straight now for the Noles in that department. They beat Indiana, ACC Big Ten. They've made some changes. They got a superstar waiting at Scotty Barnes. We had MJ Walker on the show last week. Doesn't seem to matter. Next wave of terrific players. Leonard Hamilton has built not a good program, a great program. But, Wes, are they the safest bet right now in the ACC for men's basketball?
Probably so, and I think the one thing that, you know, when you watch them, whether it's Saturday against Florida or maybe the ACC Big Ten game against Indiana the other night, it's the completeness right now, Pack, of a basketball team, right? I mean, we've been playing basketball, we're getting ready to start our third week, I guess. You know, where are we in terms of teams that you can, you know, buy with confidence? Florida State's one you can buy with confidence. I'd say they're not terribly far behind what we've seen out of Gonzaga, Baylor from a confidence level. You know what you're going to get. And they're finding a variety of – think about the different speeds they're playing to win. I mean, they got 83 the other day. They go to overtime the other night. And we got a really, really small sample size of these guys. But they're 3-0, and it's a stair-step operation when you think about the way they've moved through this. And I'm impressed. I'm really impressed with the integration of Barnes especially, but also the development of Polite and Koprivica. Players like that that have taken on larger roles this year for sure in helping Coach Hamilton's team get started. And now here comes Georgia Tech with all the changing defenses and things like that tomorrow night in Tallahassee here on ACC Network too.
I'm just saying, again, it is a really small sample size. But, you know, we've seen Virginia and we've seen Duke. We've seen North Carolina and Louisville. And, I mean, Florida State, that Indiana-Florida combo last week, WW, was impressive. 26 straight now at home.
Well, and let me ask you this. If I were to say, there's no coach, first of all, that's going to come on this show and say his team's complete three games in, right? We all recognize that,
correct,
right? There's always things to work on. But when you look at Florida State and then you look at, say, Duke, Carolina, Virginia, even Clemson, who's off to a really nice start, we'll talk about the Tigers as well here before maybe we're done in this segment. The idea of where Florida State is in comparison after just the three games, wouldn't you say you got a lot more confidence in them right now than you do those others?
Well, I think I led off by saying I believe they are the safest bet right now in the ACC. So, yeah, I absolutely do. I think that if you said, hey, listen, you got to go play Baylor or Gonzaga tomorrow from the ACC, you get to pick whatever team you want to take one of those two on, I would tell you I'd take Florida State to go play that game right now.
Yeah.
Today. Wouldn't you?
No question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No question. And, yeah, I think what we're seeing, though, is, and the thing you look at is just how many different kind of ways they can play this early in and where their success level is. And you start looking at numbers and you see the threes, yes, the rebounding, turnovers. You know, they survived against Indiana without shooting well, okay, at the free throw line especially. But you get guys to go make plays. And the other night it was Barnes. And, you know, the other day they just kind of kept Florida at arm's length. Now, God bless these Gators and certainly Deontay Johnson. I mean, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family.
No doubt.
Unbelievable player. And what happened Saturday is just, you know, I unfortunately have been to a game and was on the call of a game where something like that happened. And it absolutely, it's hard to believe that the other team continues. But Mike White and his team elected to do that. So that will forever be a piece of that ball game. But for the Noles to kind of keep it in perspective and win the ball game and get something from it says a lot about where they may want to go this season too.
Totally agree. All right, a couple other things. You just mentioned Clemson. Hey, first it was Mississippi State. Okay, Mississippi State, whatever. Then it was Purdue. Purdue, Big Ten. Okay, nice
Purdue.
Job. Then Maryland came rolling in. Little John got destroyed. Then you got Nate Oates, who was running his mouth about Coach K last week, eventually apologized. Well, he got a chance to jump on Clemson. And, man alive, the Tigers have now won four against Power 5 opposition. And Brad Brownell, when we interviewed him last week, said he's kind of like a mini Leonard Hamilton, man. They're just bringing in waves of players. Clemson's getting the job done. Wes, would you say at this early stage that the boys with the tiger paw might just be an upper-tier team in the ACC based on the eye test alone?
Right now, yes. Absolutely. Yep. I would agree. And I think Nick Honor has some things to do with it. Alamir Dawes, John Newman, Amir Sims playing at an all-ACC level. Hunter Tyson's look good. Tigers.
Pretty good
Tigers
team.
Tigers are kind of just – there are two teams right now quietly rolling along, Pat. Clemson's one of them. Absolutely.
There's no question. And that was a good win against Alabama. 2-0 against the SEC. 2-0 against the Big Ten. Just saying.
Yep.
But they've got Virginia Tech tomorrow night.
The other
night.
Team.
Just keep an eye on that game tomorrow night. Virginia Tech after that. I don't know what that was against Penn State. You know Mike Young's guy is going to bounce back. So that'll be a good test tomorrow night.
Oof. I agree. The other team I would throw into the list of just kind of quietly rolling along, and that might be the way they like it, the old Orange of Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because Saturday, I want to tell you now, Saturday was like, whoa. I mean, Pack, the numbers in this thing Saturday? Seriously?
I watched most of the second half of this game. Wes, I will just tell you, you know, the last time we saw Syracuse at the end of last year was in the ACC tournament, and they blistered North Carolina. The team I was talking about, hey, they're going to win the whole tournament. Well, guess what? Syracuse beat them by 100. I'm watching this game Saturday, and I thought they were going to win by 100. As a matter of fact, Boston College at home closed on a 13-3 run to lose by 38. Let that marinate a second. 13-3 run to lose by 38. That's how good Syracuse was Saturday. That's a good-looking crew. When they're making shots, be careful. The Orange are just sitting there just sliding. They are hiding in the weeds right now. They are just winning their games, going about their business. Yeah, I know they lost to Rutgers. Get all that. Didn't have everybody on deck. But nevertheless, Syracuse looked awfully good Saturday.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we're a long way from that opener against Bryant where everybody was kind of holding their breath and Boeheim saying, why are we playing and practicing and we haven't been able to do anything? And now, and you mentioned the Rutgers game, and I'm glad you did because everybody would jump to conclusions about that. It's still a pretty good basketball team. Now, one pause of concern here. At some point, Boston College, who has played the 27 Yankees here to start the season, essentially, right? I mean, they've played everybody and taken on all comers. There have been no layups for Jim Christian's team. You worry if the losses are going to start to ruin the confidence, right? Ruin the go. That was not what I was expecting to see on Saturday, but take nothing away from the way Syracuse played. But BC lined up Murderer's Row to start the season, and now they got some scrapes and scars to show for it. Now, can they get those healed and benefit from playing that schedule? I think that's a real question we got to keep an eye on the Eagles about in the next 2 weeks, too.
Well, I would be worried about what I saw Saturday. You know, it's one thing to play Villanova tough and all that stuff. It's another thing to just get completely waxed on your home floor.
I agree.
And that's exactly what happened. And again, the Orange were rocking it, dude. We had football going on, and I turned that game on in between all the other stuff that was going on, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of it because they made everything they looked at. It was like, oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad is this going to get? And like I said, 13-3 run to end the game for BC to lose by 38 at home. Crazy. But Syracuse looked awfully good.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's see what happens as we move forward. We'll keep an eye on basketball, but we'll turn our attention back to football in just a moment. And don't forget, we've got football here for you. Saturday on ACC Network. Kind of a preamble, if you will, to the title game at 4 o'clock over on ABC. We'll show you Florida State Wake Forest Saturday at noon from Truist Field in Winston-Salem. Demon Deacons try to make it 2 in a row over the Noles after breaking a 7-game losing streak last year. Right here on ACC Network and always available on the ESPN app. We got a huddle in the morning. We got Florida State Wake. Then we got Clemson Notre Dame over on the American Broadcasting Company. We got more Packer and Durham when we come back, too. We will follow up on the rest of Saturday's football tales as well. We'll take a look at the Deeks and the Cards from Cardinal Stadium. And, oh, yeah, the Noles, they look pretty stout against the Blue Devils. Back with more after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN. Eric McLean will be with us at the top of the hour, as he traditionally is every Monday. Andrew Adelson as well at 9 a.m. this morning, and you'll be good to go. Other games of note, football-wise, from the weekend, Wes. You had one. There was a lot of stuff going on at Louisville last week, as we discussed on the show. And the best way to calm everybody's nerves is to win and actually look good doing it. And despite a slow start, I mean, Louisville put it in overdrive, second, third, and fourth quarters. That was a nice win for Coach Satterfield.
Yeah, some real concerns, I think, Mark, about the way the ball game began, for sure, right? Because you go three and out on four of your first five possessions. It just doesn't look very crisp, right? Looks like a team that might kind of be stuck in neutral, and then all of a sudden, you know, things start happening. One of the things that happened, which was the rarity of all rarities, is a team that had one turnover all year long turned it over twice. And, boy, you give Jalen Mitchell a lot of credit because he played well. Malik Cunningham did, too. Des Fitzpatrick had a nice senior day moment. Cards, you know, ended up plus one in the takeaway giveaway and get a nice win. And allowed Satterfield and Dwayne Ledford to kind of pull out some of the stops on offense. You see the sweep with Jordan Watkins, the throw to Francis Sherman, who, by the way, didn't know until Friday he was going to – knew Saturday morning he was going to start. Friday he might play, by the way. Catches a touchdown pass for the Cards. And here's the interception by Monty Montgomery. And Sam Hartman and Wake Forest turned it over twice. Hartman throws his first interception of the year.
If is the biggest word in sports. If Louisville this year could have just been plus one in the turnover department every week, what would that record have been?
Yeah.
I mean, they you know, like you're Duke, right, like Georgia Tech, they just had a year, they just kicked it all over the yard all day. But when they play clean football, hey, they're dangerous. They have, and we knew that. They knew that they could score offensively, and if the defense could get off the field, they were going to be okay. But given all the stuff that was going on at Louisville last week, that is exactly the way you wanted the weekend to end if you're a Cardinals fan, because that was a W against a Wake team. Granted, the Deacs haven't played in a month, and it looked it. But hey, that's not your problem. You got to go take care of business given what was going on and close with a flourish. And I think that's exactly what Louisville did. That was an exclamation point. And for Wake Forest, as you pointed out, they've got one more game. They got Florida State coming to Switzerland this weekend, and hopefully we get that game in.
All right. Louisville 4-2 at home this season. They were 0-5 on the road, so they're going to finish 4-7. Now, it's not the number you and I thought we'd see when we were in July, right? Talking about 100%. What Scott Satterfield's team might look like. But, given the climate, given the landscape, given the things that have happened. By the way, Roddy Jones, I thought, discussed this in well-versed on Saturday. Their defense was better this year than it was last year. Statistically, it's unbelievable how much better it is, right?
How could it be worse? I mean, well, last year they were not a very good defensive team. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent.
But if let's say they don't get the postseason, because we all know there's the coupons for postseason this year, and we'll go through the bowl thing later in the week, and it's shaping up to be crazy. But would you be willing to look at Louisville and say, okay, I saw Jalen Mitchell. He looks pretty good. Young wide receivers. Offensive line was missing two starters, and they had some guys who, you know, won't return. They got two young guys out at tackle. Defensively, some veteran pieces there. But Satterfield after 2 years, pretty good, right?
Satterfield after year one, spectacular. Satterfield after year two, disappointing. He'd be the first. If he was sitting right here beside me, he'd say this was a disappointing year at 4-7.
Sure.
Nobody thought they'd be 4-7.
But on the whole, pretty good.
Yeah, certainly improved. I mean, there's a plan in place at Louisville to get to the next level. This year was a step back, be completely honest, step back. Mm-hmm. But, again, I don't expect them to kick the thing around all over the yard next year. I mean, they were miserable on that end. It's hard to beat people when you're turning the ball over and just like, you take it. So I expect them to bounce back next season. I'm a big fan of Scott Satterfield. I think he can flat out coach. I think he has a plan. I think he gets it. And he knows that this year was kind of we missed opportunity to build momentum from year one. Maybe it was expectations were too high. They didn't handle it well. But you know what? That'll come into play next year too about how you handle the outside noise. So I expect Louisville to bounce back in 21, but this year was a disappointment.
All right, I'm going to take your bounce back, and I'm going to show you Florida State, who beats Duke 56-35 on Saturday. Was that enough of a bounce back late here, or, you know, what do
bounce
you gather? Florida
what?
State just got a win, and now they got a chance to go to Wake Forest, bounce back from what's been a bad fall for the Noles?
I mean, you beat Duke.
By winning one here at the end?
To me, I told you last week, this was a loser-leave-town match. Now, the guy that lost this game, I'd feel sorry for. I think you will see that. At least I can only speak from my accounting. You will see that accordingly tomorrow in accounting. You've got to win this game if you're Florida State. I mean, Duke's given up. How many points has Duke given up the last four games? They're giving up over 50 a game. So, you know, these are two teams that are just looking to feel good. I mean, they put in the work. They just want to feel good about everything they've done for Duke. Can you just get it to the finish line? 2-9, I'd tell you, much like Louisville, this is a disappointing year for David Cutcliffe's guys, especially when you consider in week one, it's 17-13 in the fourth quarter at Notre Dame, and you're thinking, wow, Duke might have something this year. I would never have told you after that day they'd go 2-9. For Florida State, hey, this hasn't been a great year. I don't care if you beat Duke by 500. This has been a down year, but you got to win. Feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Embrace it. You got a chance to play one more time, hopefully, this weekend in Winston-Salem. So that's kind of how I looked at that. Somebody had to win the game, and accounting will pay for it.
Yeah. By the way, Lawrence Toafili, outstanding ball game, 7 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Mateo Durant, fourth 100-yard game of the year. He had 127 and a score for the Blue Devils, who, unfortunately, the storyline of 2020 for Duke, tip of the cap, played all your games, right? Pac, give them that.
No,
Devils played the games.
Everybody that plays 11 or 10, Wake's going to play 9, hopefully. I told you before the season started, if we can get 8 in, I'd take it and ask no questions. The fact that some of these teams played every game, phenomenal. An incredible job. I don't care if you went 2-9 or 9-2. It's sensational that you got the games in. But this was a disappointing year for Duke. 2-9 is a step backwards. That was not what the doctor ordered for David Cutcliffe. And, you know, if you're Florida State, you got some good news with Mackenzie Milton. And you mentioned he's going to transfer from UCF, and he's a great story and will certainly help in the quarterback battle. But, you know, Jordan Travis, he's rushed for 559 this year. That's the most ever at Florida State since Dirt for a quarterback. And he's a great athlete. We've had him on the show. And Florida State's had such a crazy offseason and then a crazy season. First time they played in a month. You're up 28-0. You're thinking, oh, thank goodness. Next thing you know, you go to the kitchen, you come back, it's 28-21. You're like, why are we in this dogfight? But they took care of business. They were the better team Saturday, and they proved it. So good for Florida State. And maybe they can close WW. Where they can win on the road against Wake Forest and go into the offseason with some momentum. But I think Wake Forest coming off their effort against Louisville, the game that you did, Wes, I suspect that Dave Clawson's guys will play a little tougher and be in a bounce-back mode on Saturday in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, one would think so, right? Certainly, given the kind of climate and things like that that Dave Clawson wants to have, not only at the close of this year, but certainly looking ahead with the group he's got, especially young guys on defense. Now, remember, they got younger Saturday because Boogie Basham, Suleiman Kamara did not play in the ball game up front for Wake Forest defensively as well. Good win for Florida State. Tough fall for Duke. Tough falls. Turnovers are going to be a big storyline, too. Blue Devils.
39
never, ever.
39 turnovers. 39 turnovers. Now, Wes, I don't care what time. I don't care if you've got Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame talent. You turn it over 39 times, you're going to lose some games. If you have just pretty good talent and turn it over 39, you're going to lose a bunch of games. 2-9, I mean, here's another one. I mean, David Cutcliffe's seen this nightmare all year. They just cannot get out of the way of turning the ball over.
Right. Get out of the way, Pac. Here's another one. How about that? I mean, they're happening in all different ways, too. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is what it is.
What'd you say, 39?
39 for
39.
The year. 39. Number one in the country. 39
all right.
Turnovers.
When we come back, off to basketball. A little more there for you. Including another pause for the cats, if you will, against the ACC. Yeah, we got Scotty Barnes' dunks. We got some MJ. Look at Scotty Barnes. He's excited. Nate Leszczewski. How about that? Oh, yeah, PJ Hall. There's a dunk on the Tide. We got plenty of hoops coming up. Stay tuned. On a Monday, Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Eric McLean coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. All right, there are more games to get into. That includes Mike Bray and the Irish doing something since dirt. That is, they went on the road and beat Kentucky. First time ever since dirt. A lot of since dirts already today. Yeah. How about that, Wes? 33-9 in the first half against Kentucky. It's 33-9 Notre Dame. Just cruising. Beating the daylights out of John Calipari.
By the way, shout out to all the people that tagged you this weekend on Twitter with the hashtag since dirt.
Yep, since dirt.
You know, how about the momentum since dirt is building?
Yeah, people like it.
Okay, Pack, honestly, did you see anything the other night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge when Notre Dame played Ohio State that led you to believe they were going to go to Rupp Arena and lay the wood?
Not in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, but I saw Georgia Tech lay the wood to Kentucky. And I didn't think that was going to happen after I saw the Jackets lose to Mercer in Georgia State. But when I watched Georgia Tech, they kicked Kentucky all over the yard. That wasn't even close. That was a flag raiser for me. So it wasn't the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which, by the way, keep in mind, Notre Dame led by 11 with 14 minutes to go at home, didn't close. But 33-9 was the score at Rupp Arena. And I know there's not 23,000 there. I get it. Man, but listen, give Kentucky credit for they came back. That's what they're supposed to do. But that was a humongous W for Mike Bray, right? We talked about changing the narrative of your season for one game in football.
That's right.
You can't lose a 24-point lead after blowing an 11-point lead at home to Ohio State. Can you imagine if Kentucky makes one more shot again? Biggest word in sports is if. What the mindset is your team after blowing a 24-point lead. They held on and won. But the point of it is Notre Dame got the W. And they go on the road. And now Kentucky, if you're keeping score, that's 0-2 in the ACC. Just means more. What a great weekend for the SEC against the ACC in hoops, which we'll get to. But that was a tremendous win, though, for Mike Bray. Again, since dirt had never beaten Kentucky on the road, well, that box is now checked.
Yeah. Rupp Arena looks a lot different, too, doesn't it?
It's just, weird. Cameron, Rupp, even Kansas has some fans, but it's just, again, we went through it in football to a degree. But I think it gets magnified somewhat, even in hoops, don't you think? I mean, I know we watched the NBA Finals, and that was different too. But it's just, I'm concerned about basketball. I hope we can do this. I really do. I hope we can do it.
You'll be pleased to know I took in a couple minutes of NBA preseason action over on ESPN last night.
Is that right? That's good. Hornets lose yet?
Just to see. I wanted to see what Staples Center looked like. To be honest.
Oh. With Lakers, Clippers.
Now let me tell you something about your hometown team there for a moment.
CHA?
Your hometown team.
What about CHA? What do we got?
They've done very well. They like the addition of Hayward and Ball. I'm excited for you. I think you got a chance. You get back over there, feet on the floor, you'll be in good shape. Yeah.
Maybe foot on the floor, the way I'm going. Foot on the floor, not feet. Maybe foot.
A foot. Let's go to State Farm Arena. We touched on this a moment ago. But Clemson's win over Alabama. Now, remember now, Alabama's one of those teams people were highly thought of, right? I know they've lost some players and
people were highly thought of. People that really do follow college basketball keep telling me Alabama's like one of the best teams in their league. I'm like, okay, I haven't seen them play yet. I'll check them out. No match Saturday now. Forget it. And Clemson was up double digits. Bama went on a great run, and Clemson said, okay, cool, watch this. See you later. Goodbye and good night. Mm-hmm. Roll Tide.
Yep.
So by my count, Wes, Clemson beats Bama. Ooh. Florida State beats Florida. Notre Dame beats Kentucky. Well, what else we got? Anything else? Got anybody else want to play?
I guess.
Huh? I mean, I already know the ACC's got more teams in the AP top 25 in football this week than the other league. I mean, I know we got two in the top three in the college football playoffs. I mean, I'm just asking. Just asking.
Can we all agree there's nothing better on Monday morning than Packer with an approach?
Hey, I, you know, I'm not coming up with ifs. I'm not telling you. I'm not an Ohio State fan going, well, if the refs hadn't. No, I'm not giving you any if ref thing. I'm just giving you the numbers. Here are the numbers. Now, you may not like what I say. That's fine. I don't care. Really don't care. But you know what? If you don't want to, if you want to ignore the facts, that would be a you problem. I'm just giving facts. There are more ACC football teams in this week's AP Top 25 than any other conference in America. Just saying. If you don't like the AP poll, that's fine with me. I don't care.
Out, aren't you?
You know, we'll go to the college football playoff rankings. There's more teams in the top three from the ACC. We got two of the top three teams. Might have half. We may have half the college football playoff.
Handing out the roses, aren't you?
Hey, I'm just laying it out there. We got three ACC-SEC basketball matchups this weekend. What else we got?
All right. Florida State did beat Florida 83-71, seventh consecutive. Hey,
you want me to pull off my shoe and throw it at the screen? Let me do that? How about that move? That was a football move, Wes. I learned something new yesterday. That's known as a football move.
Okay.
You take the cleat off somebody else and throw it 20 yards downfield. That's a football move.
Okay.
I learned that yesterday. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, real quick before we get to break. Nate Oates, after the ball game in Atlanta, after the loss to Clemson by 8,
good week
the
for
Alabama
Nate.
Head coach apologized publicly to Coach Krzyzewski for questioning his concern about playing non-conference games. Oates said, quote, I want to publicly apologize to Coach K for what I said. I actually felt terrible about it after the press conference. I reached out to him. He was gracious enough to return my call. I have the utmost respect for him as a coach.
Nate Oates is a good coach, right? He did miracles at Buffalo. And hopefully when Alabama gets off probation in basketball, he can rock and roll down there too because he's a tremendous coach. Mm-hmm. But he stepped over the line like Greg Sankey did 2 weeks ago. You got to take care of your business. And all this other stuff the other people are doing, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. So good for Nate for apologizing. He should have.
There you go. All right. We will slide aside here. When we come back, Eric McClain on a Monday morning. Championship week for the big fella. We'll talk to E-Mac, get his thoughts on the runaway show in South Florida. Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. I got a question for you. Are Michael Carter and Javonte Williams the all-ACC running backs? First team? Back after this.
Packer and Durham.